Oh no! Oh no! Come on, gosh! You're gonna need to cut it. You're gonna need to cut it.
I'll cut it.
Hold on, we'll go back.
It's in the show notes, man.
So embarrassing.
I know. I had champagne.
Yeah, one job.
My testosterone levels are raging because my wife is here.
Gross.
What we do here is go back, 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 back.
Everybody, welcome to the Wheel Route Podcast. This is mildly legitimate conversation amongst friends about college football and lifestyle. You can find the Wheel Route at www.thewheelroute.com. You can stream the show there and see all of our shows. Listen to all of our shows, rather. At the Wheel Route on Twitter. Send emails to wheelroutepodcast@gmail.com. And as always, download the show from Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Stitcher. My name is Logan Whitehouse, coming to you from lovely Stuart, Florida. It is Tuesday, recording early this week. Give you guys an extra day to chew on these picks. Who else we got on the phone?
My name is Jordan Shank. I'm in Harrisonburg, Virginia. I'm on Twitter.com at ShankJordan. And big news for Twitter. We get an extra 140 characters per tweet.
Oh, my gosh.
So as excited as you guys may get,
y'all are doomed.
Continue to never tweet. That's my advice. That's right. My words of wisdom for this week.
Only like and retweet. Those are the only accessible options.
My name's Jason Kreck. I tweet things at Jason Kreck. Also in Harrisonburg. And I'm looking forward to breaking down the Brooklyn Nine-Nine season premiere tonight.
All right, boys. Special occasion for the podcast. Episode number 50.
That's right.
Yeah!
So we think. What are we drinking?
And hope it's 50.
We're popping that bubbly.
Bubbly stuff. I don't think we can call it champagne, per se. The purists may get angry.
Yeah.
I have
a
bottle of Tots, T-O-T-T-S, extra dry from California.
Ooh.
It's fine. It was on sale at Kroger, nice. So shout out to all my budget-friendly listeners out there.
I have finest bottle of California. It says champagne on the label from our dear friend Andre. And I'm enjoying it at room temperature because I planned poorly.
Room temperature champagne, just as the French intended.
Exactly. I'm a purist.
You got Andre. Are you going extra dry? Or you going brut?
I have the extra dry version.
Oh, samesies. Me too. Great biorhythms, Jason.
Yep, we're dialed
Mine
in.
Is cold. I got it 3 hours ago, so it's been in the fridge for 3 hours.
Must be nice.
Would like it a little colder. Not on ice, though. I know I had a bit of a faux pas in the last episode. Champagne on ice.
I thought that was
line.
A pretty baller move to pour it over
we
ice.
We all know
Logan.
That the ice goes in the bucket and the champagne bottle goes on the ice. That the ice and the champagne don't touch unless you're a real baller. Also, a special guest joining us tonight to partake in the celebration. First Lady of the Wheel Route Podcast. Shout out to Emily. Hey.
Woo!
Here to provide my undying support.
Huge fan. She's been listening in the car. Great news. Great news.
I have so many more things to talk about at the water cooler now. Thanks, Will.
Yeah.
Public service we provide. We're glad that you are genuinely into it and legally required to be.
Yes, right. Absolutely. Any Jim McElwain thoughts?
Dude, Jordan, that idea about the credit card scandal, I'm into it. He seems like he's hiding something.
Right. Wheel Route conspiracy theory. You heard it here first.
Right. I'm glad to have the body language confirmed by a trained professional. That makes me feel good about my instincts.
Do you think that he could be hiding the fact that he doesn't have a quarterback?
No. I don't think it's federal charges. I don't think he's dumb enough to think that nobody else knows he doesn't have a quarterback.
he's openly not hiding.
Doing a real good job of covering this up, but once it pops, boy, am I in trouble. Like, no, everybody knows. Everybody knows.
Well, that's a good point. That is true. It's fairly on the open. Emily, any other thoughts? Any UVA thoughts?
UVA played really, really well. Logan was losing his mind, but what was even better was Logan during the Florida game. Just episodes of pure just like hate and then despondency. Just like, why, Florida, why?
And we said I was whining a lot.
A lot of whining.
That doesn't sound like you at all.
No, not a whiner. More of a griper.
Seriously. Great work, guys. Big fan.
Happy to have you on board.
Always. Thanks for helping your lightweight husband drink his champagne.
Anytime. Well, I'll leave you to your show.
Thank you.
Cheers. All right.
Enjoy. Love. Well, that was nice. Thanks to Emily for joining the podcast. First guest that we've ever had. Two episodes in a row. No cookies this time, though, I noticed.
Yeah, interesting. Sorry. It's not fair to them.
She's right.
All right, guys, let's get into some news before we talk about the week that's coming up. But I guess we talk about this first, since we are also an NCAA basketball podcast at times. We had some spicy scandal news drop earlier this morning, and then I think there was a press conference at noon. I know this is going to shock a lot of people, but a lot of college basketball coaches doing shady things to get recruits to their school. A lot of sneaker companies involved. What do we know at this point? Anything new? Mostly just the garden variety of usual suspects, right?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, I don't even know where to start. Yeah, basically, people were taking bribes to funnel people towards schools and sneaker companies and the like. And, yeah, you can't do that.
Probably shouldn't do that.
But it's a real bad situation. It kind of draws light on the fact that, you know, when people aren't getting paid for their part of a $1 billion industry, they go somewhere to get that money, and now a whole lot of people are going to go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty much the only thing everybody can agree on, is this is probably just the tip of the iceberg. The report that was drawn up basically said this is only the stuff we needed to show probable cause and to open this case. So there is almost certainly more coming down the pipeline, and as these things go, deals will be made. People will open up their text message and email logs for a chance to stay out of jail. And it's going to get real bad before it gets any better. And I don't think anybody really knows how it's going to end.
But I know the Hoos are clean. I know that much.
Squeaky. Absolutely squeaky.
The interesting
thing. Famous last words.
The interesting thing. Well, a couple interesting things. One, this started as an SEC investigation into a financial advisor for fraud.
Yep.
And they found an opportunity to flip him, and that was the first domino. And there was some speculation, like when the news initially came out that some assistant coaches got arrested by the FBI, some people were speculating, like, wow, the NCAA is like now imposing their will and wishes on government agencies, and that's a huge conflict of interest and this, that, and the other. But at the press conference today, the spokesperson for the New York attorney's office said that the NCAA had no idea this was going on until this morning.
For three years, the NCAA was not told.
Which says a lot about, one,
The FBI
and the lack of confidence they have in the
their
NCAA.
Their opinion of the NCAA enforcement agencies.
And two, the lack of competence of the NCAA, or lack of care for this to be going on and never have gotten any wind of it sooner, to at least make a half-hearted attempt at sanctions or something of that nature.
I thought it was pretty interesting that it seems pretty clear that some of these sneaker companies were making just pretty much direct payments,
mm-hmm.
To either assistant coaches or to players' families or however it was working out. That to me seems like very sloppy on their part if they're actually going to do that. I mean, there was college football, there's always the legendary sort of bagman stories and stuff like that. It seems like they go to the great lengths to insulate the obvious.
Yeah.
maybe.
So they were like, they were funneling these payments either through like an advisor or through an investment advisor, or like, I think in maybe a couple of cases, the assistant coaches became the bagmen at some point,
right,
where they were delivering the cash to the player's team member, mm-hmm. associate, or family member. So, it's going to get bad. Cause like Jason said, like this initial round of arrests contained 10 people, and odds are several of those are going to flip and do what they can to, save their own skin.
So some schools we're pretty sure are involved include Arizona and Louisville, right? In Miami,
USC.
USC.
I think those are the
Oklahoma
four.
State.
complete Miami shock.
I don't know if Miami was
Miami and Louisville.
Miami wasn't on the list,
but they were implicated.
Yeah, their assistant coaches weren't arrested, but they were brought up in the thing. The assistant coaches arrested were.
Well, I know Miami's an Adidas school, and Adidas seemed to be at the center of a lot of this. Yeah. So.
It'll be Arizona, Oklahoma State, Arizona, Auburn, and USC.
Oh, Bruce Pearl? You mean a Bruce Pearl staff member was doing something wild and crazy?
Yeah, so they had said that Bruce Pearl had a – they had scheduled media day for tomorrow to, like, open up practice and camp. Right. That has been canceled.
It's not happening.
Shocking.
Yeah. Louisville, it'll – I think, like, Pat Forty – I think has already advocated the death penalty for that program, which seems a little hot takey, but also not
They've
necessarily.
They've had a lot going on recently.
Yeah, so Patino, you got to think Patino's done. Their athletic director likely doesn't have a very long future there either.
Which is interesting because he's
what a slew of great guys Louisville's got.
Widely considered one of the better athletic directors in the country.
Yeah. Wow. So. Yeah, so I mean it's going to be interesting. This stuff is actually kind of fascinating. You know, in sort of a morbid way, I suppose you could say, but it's really interesting. Have you guys seen that it was a 30 for 30 about sneaker companies? Did you guys watch that one? Was it called I forget what it was even called. Sneakerhead. Was it called Sneakerheads?
No, but I think I saw like the preview. Sonny Vaccaro is one of the like key figures.
Yeah, that was really interesting because that kind of dipped back into like the I think when this all sort of blew up in like the 90s, when Tracy McGrady was one of the first players that was like heavily influenced to buy sneaker companies coming out of high school to either pick a college or go pro and sign with companies and stuff like that. So. I mean, this stuff's been going on for a while, but it's still crazy to me that it's a worthwhile investment for some of these shoe companies to do this stuff so openly. So, all right. Well, we'll move on to more good news. Yesterday, University of Florida credit card shenanigans came, I guess, more into focus as far as what the actual charges are going to be. It sounded like the charges haven't really been passed down yet, but they've been recommended. So I guess
they're brainstorming.
The police officers have submitted their sworn recommendations of charges based on the info that they have. It looks like every player on the list is going to be charged with multiple third degree felonies. So it sounds like every charge that uses a stolen credit card is a felony, is a separate felony, regardless of the amount. So one player, a couple players, I think there's like 90 total charges, but 48 of them are between two players, which is, you know, that's heavy, but I feel kind of bad for the kid that's getting catching a felony charge for ordering like Postmates to deliver gummy bears to his to his dorm. But anyhow, classic. It seems like it was a pretty organized credit card ring though, where these guys got some numbers. There were people from multiple states involved.
Guess who's traveling to multiple states on a regular basis? Jim McElwain's making recruiting stops.
Lifted info from. So there's a somewhat of a likelihood that the federal investigators could get involved here and they could get some federal charges too. I don't plan on seeing too many of these guys again. I will say most of the players that only got two charges though seem like they're going to qualify for pretrial intervention, whatever that means. They plead down, plead out. Something like that. So, I mean, I would say maybe you see a player like Jordan Scarlett, who I think he might have had some sort of marijuana possession charge earlier in his playing career, but he had only two of these felony charges. So, but I don't think you're going to see Antonio Callaway again. This is most definitely his fourth or fifth strike, and I've heard he hasn't even been going to class this semester, and he's pretty much moved out. So, you know, so anyhow, interesting stuff. It's disappointing, not entirely surprising, and hopefully this brings some closure to the team. They seem like they've been a little bit sidetracked with it so far this season.
Go Gators!
Yep, exactly. So, and then lastly, we should just talk about game day in Blacksburg this weekend. Jason, you excited?
What is this?
Game day, Blacksburg.
I'm unaware of the situation.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Never heard of the place.
No, I mean, good for them. I feel like Blacksburg's the kind of town that it really embraces a game day situation. They'll come out for it.
So. Well, they're like,
unless it's windy and raining, which it is, I think, what, 80% of the time?
Give or take, yeah.
Now, there's some of the OGs of College Game Day. They've done some good shows there.
Right.
I will say, I think the bus pulled onto campus the other day, and there was nobody there or something like that. There was a big story, but...
Wow.
Got to get it together, Blacksburg. Knock the rust off.
But on the other hand, like, some guy from ESPN tweeted out today, like, oh, I just rolled up to the football office, yeah, and here is Frank Beamer conveniently walking a puppy outside of the football office.
To be fair, he actually does that. So allegedly. I have no idea if that was rigged or...
Come on, Jason.
What, he has a new puppy every year? That's terrible.
You work in
Frank Beamer runs a puppy mill?
Yeah.
Come on, after they made it through the Mike Vick situation, now Frank Beamer's...
That's where they get
mill?
Their start.
Oh, my God.
Frank births them, and then Mike... Mr. Vic trains them and
horrible
to be,
people
to be pugilists.
Right.
No, it's cool. I used to live in Newport News, so you know I roll deep for the Vic brothers, so to speak. Yeah. All right. Cool. We'll move on to some games,
please.
Guys. Who's excited about the weekend? Another weekend where it's hard to pick out what's really going to be good. But this is also that weird weekend where most teams are starting conference play, but you're still getting those sort of straggler games where maybe teams that played early conference games are, like, circling back around and playing New Mexico or something weird. So, hopefully this will be the last week like that before we get into pretty much pure conference slate. Jason, who the Dukes got?
The Dukes are headed to Newark, Delaware.
Ah,
where
take on the Blue Hens.
Nobody should ever go.
Joe Flacco's Blue Hens.
To take on Joe Flacco and Joe Biden's Blue Hens. And head coach Danny Rocco, formerly of Richmond, formerly of Liberty, so real popular in my book. And also
formerly the father of UVA failed UVA
uncle.
Quarterback Michael
uncle.
Rocco. Oh, uncle, sorry.
I didn't even know that. I do know that in 2013, his first season with Richmond, they played Liberty early in the season and won. They eked one out against Liberty, and Danny Rocco awarded himself the game ball. Brought it to the press conference.
Big stones on that guy.
And when asked why he brought the game ball to the press conference and was asked who got the game ball, he said, I did. I gave it to myself because that was a really hard game for me.
Wow.
That's a thing that happened.
Wow.
So
all-time football guy move.
That's a strong football guy.
Kind of really hoping we put Delaware, like, below the field.
Right. Is Delaware good this year?
They're rebuilding.
Okay, right?
They're rebuilding. They're solid.
I guess they have a new coach.
I think we're, like, 20 point favorites ish, but who knows? I mean, Danny Rocco, like, straight up hates James Madison University. It's mildly comical.
But you don't seem to have any ill will.
Yeah, you don't
Danny
seem
Rocco,
to really hate
so it's
him,
good that
so.
It's only a
yeah,
one way street.
Exactly.
it's kind of like that William. And Mary
I also have no effect like on the football game, and Danny Rocco might. So
all William and Mary people seem very like very agitated about UVA, and I don't really think that any UVA people are like really too like interested in what William & Mary's got going on, but okay.
Is that really a thing that William & Mary people think?
Well, Thomas Jefferson had to go to school somewhere, all
right?
Right. So,
oh, right.
You know.
Well, you know, academic rivalries being what they are.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, I'm already asleep.
UVA is on a bye this week, Jordan.
They are.
They are 3-point underdogs.
3-point underdogs on the bye. I like their chances.
I do, like, while we're talking about UVA, I made a promise last week that I would do some recruiting research.
Please.
All right. So we talked about John Oliver's ambitious scheduling out of conference and how
which included home and homes with USC, Oregon, and BYU, and
I've got a
Boise.
List. All right,
okay.
You ready? Since 2010, games against the essentially home and homes out of conference since 2010 with TCU, those were the Andy Dalton days. Penn State, those were during their sanctions, so that didn't really hurt as much as it could have. USC, as we mentioned, Oregon, BYU, UCLA, and Boise State. And again, we kind of talked about some of the thinking was that, you know, that would expose the football program to kids who might not otherwise give UVA a second
right.
look in terms of recruiting. So since the class of 2011, which would have been London's first full class,
mm-hmm.
UVA has signed 3 recruits west of the Mississippi. Kelvin Rainey, class of 2012, defensive back out of Houston, Texas. So none of those games probably had much an effect on that. Dylan Rankinsmeyer, class of 16. He's now the starting center for the Hoos. He's from Littleton, Colorado. Nice. And Wayne Taulapapa is a 2016 signee from Honolulu, Hawaii, who was a BYU decommit. So he decommitted from BYU right after Bronco got the job. And
did he take a mission?
Yeah, he's on mission right now.
Okay, so he's going to be nice and strapping and like 25 by the time he comes
right,
back.
Full of wisdom and people skills.
What position does he play?
He's a running back.
Ah.
That's so a useless put a, position. Put a man back that, there. Yeah, it's true because everybody takes walk-ons, right?
Walk-ons right. And mission candidates.
Shout out to our walk-on linebacker conversation yesterday. That was one of the more like fun times I've had talking ball.
I'm glad you enjoyed it because I had over 35 texts when I got to the office about walk-on
Jordan,
middle linebackers.
Jordan timed his commute poorly.
I thought, oh gosh, like I missed something really big. In
something
10
horrible. They're concerned Logan. About my safety.
Yeah,
it was just Logan standing.
Did
by
Justin Fuente
really
finally
weird...
get hired by Oregon? Like what? What
dying
is going
on?
On
a weird hill, dying on a really weird hill about walk-on middle linebackers. Mm-hmm. But hey, it's okay. That's what I do. It's what I do.
Shout out to Bill C.
Thanks
for getting
Bill,
involved.
Thanks to Bill C. for chipping in his wisdom.
Absolutely, yeah.
Friend of
cool.
the podcast.
Good friend of the pod.
Really good.
We can now say that with a straight face.
Yeah. We've tweeted back and forth multiple times now.
We've added each other.
All right. Well, Vandy is playing at Florida. We're not picking this game, but I figured we'd talk about it just because, you know, it's an ongoing theme here. Because
you hate us? Is that why?
My descent into madness.
Self-deprecating discussion.
I saw it opened at Florida minus 9.5 and has gone up to Florida minus 10. So I think that's fine. I don't know. It was hard to gauge Vanderbilt coming into the Alabama game, and then they just got absolutely fricasseed by Alabama. So, but it'll be a good test for Florida. Florida named our guy Luke Del Rio starting quarterback, which I think is made purely because I think he gives the team the best chance to win, which doesn't say a whole lot about the rest of the quarterback's abilities and capabilities, but seems to me that it's a situation this year where Florida's defense just isn't quite good enough that you can really afford to play Felipe Franks too much at quarterback, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So
no, this, like, that 1-2 quarterback, I was thinking about that rotation recently. It reminds me a lot of, like, the David Watford, Michael Rocco situation that UVA was in for a year where it was, like, Watford has an alleged high ceiling and you could see
right.
Like arm talent. Jason's getting ready to slit my throat right now. But Rocco is just like, yeah, he doesn't have great arm talent, but he makes the right decision most of the time. So this is the guy I guess we're going to go with for better or worse.
Yeah.
So.
And that's, I mean, boy, that's you're nailing it exactly on the head right there. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, it seems like it's boiled down to Felipe just can't be trusted or doesn't know enough of the playbook yet. Well, I don't even know if it's a matter of like his in-play execution quite as much. Just like I don't think he can get to the line and call out the protections. And it seems when he's in the game, the center actually has to do all of the protection calling. And you could tell, even though Del Rio didn't throw the ball that much better than Franks, the offense moved with a lot more cohesiveness and I don't know, pep. There was more pep in their step, so to say, when he was in the game. And I mean, you know, I think Florida's going to run the ball a lot more this next few games just to see what they got in Malik Davis and let that offensive line go to work a little bit and try to keep the defense fresh. So we'll see. I'm interested. Florida needs to put away Vanderbilt, not mess around with it, because another week of
lemon booty time probably isn't good for
another
Coach
week
Mac.
Of this, yeah. It's probably not good, and hopefully putting some of this credit card stuff behind them will be good for the team in general, and they'll be able to sign a bigger recruiting class next year if all these guys are gone and, you know, in jail. So we got
spin zone.
Got some scullies.
I'm so proud of you.
I'd like to point out that Troy is playing LSU this week. Could be a trap game, Matt Canada. You gotta look out for your guy.
He'll do just enough to win.
He did against Syracuse.
Right.
He's talking about the greatest offensive mind of the country, Logan.
Right.
All right.
Aside from Kurt Benkert.
And probably, if we're being honest, the best defensive mind in the country on the big whistle. So,
on the big whistle. Coach O, yeah. Well,
that's Dave Aranda. Coach O is just the leader of men, Logan.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see how far that goes. I think he has the second best odds in the SEC of getting fired before the end of the season. I'm not even kidding. So, at this point, things could turn around for him, you know?
It's either Saban, Orgeron, Harbaugh, or Orgeron, Saban, Harbaugh. So,
Coach O, go get the axe.
Oh, no. Newest Windows feature update. Snooze.
Okay. Yeah. Get that the heck out of
that
here.
That was close. That was close. All
right, we're on a flawless operation here.
This was a game that we could have potentially picked, but I didn't really want to talk about Auburn. So we're going to talk about Mississippi State at Auburn. This should be a fairly weighty matchup in the SEC West. Both teams are ranked. Somehow Auburn is still 13, which is...
That's baffling.
I mean, that took me by surprise, but I guess they only lost to Clemson, and they've sort of really struggled through that. And frankly, they actually had a chance to win that game. It was only 14-6. But I guess this is a big game in the West. Mississippi State didn't look too impressive last week against Georgia. They got run out of the building. They got to go on the road again at Auburn. How do you guys see this one going?
Well, Dan Mullen drops another one. His you know, contract demands probably get a little lighter for the Gators.
Right. True, true.
So you got that going for you. Is this a 3:30 game?
I don't think so. But we can look.
I'm on it.
Jason's
keep
on
talking.
It. Yeah, I mean, this one will depend kind of what else I got going on. shout out to Michael Atkinson getting hitched this weekend.
Dropping like flies.
So future congratulations to a friend of the podcast on,
that's right,
on his betrothed status. But getting married on college football Saturday. Come on, my guy.
When all his tech cronies are going to be just so stoked for game day, too.
Oh, yeah, there are some upset folks. Like, not thrilled. I wouldn't say upset, not thrilled folks. Like, those. I think there are going to be some folks that are there because they love Michael, but the phones will also have charged batteries. So,
hey, you got to do what you got to do, but shout out to Michael. Congratulations.
Congrats, buddy.
Make an honest woman out of her.
On that note, Mississippi State Auburn is the 6 p.m. game.
On, like, SEC Network, maybe?
No, on the mothership.
Oh.
It's a weird time slot.
Yeah.
So I'll be at a wedding. Probably won't be streaming this on my phone. But neither of these teams play a fun brand of offense.
Right. At least. That's kind of why I didn't really want to talk about the game too much, but here we are.
The Auburn defense can be fun to watch, and Mississippi State can be fun on defense too, I guess. Like, they're both physical.
Right.
More so than, like, this could be, if these were two Big Ten teams playing, I would definitely not watch it. But I think there's enough talent on each defensive squad that I could be coaxed into, you know, maybe taking a peek. But, we don't have to talk about it anymore.
I mean, odds are decent. Right. It's also the SEC and the way these two teams play, you know.
It should be close.
Same thing that happened, well, it should be, but same thing that happened Mississippi State, Georgia, last week, and Mississippi State the week before that. It's also possible that one defense just completely fails.
And the home team just has a ridiculous advantage because they're the home team.
Sure.
Because that's how it really seems to go on some of these toss up games.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Oklahoma State, Auburn, Texas Tech. Oh.
Sorry, I was just gonna say Auburn's favored by 9. I wouldn't touch that.
That seems way too much. I would not really be surprised if Auburn scored more than 9 points in the game. So.
Auburn could score 9 or they could score 47. Yep. Like,
right. And then everybody would be like, Malzahn's really figured it out, guys. Yeah. He's figured
now
it
he's
out.
Now he's ready.
He's turning and burning back there.
Four. Dang. Eagle.
Okie State and Texas Tech is a night game in Lubbock. I just wanted to point
this
one out.
That's fixing
to get
weird.
You know it. Oklahoma State is coming off a loss, a pretty bad loss to TCU. They seemed like, I don't want to say they got exposed, but maybe TCU exposed themselves as a good team.
Nice.
Better than Okie State. You like that? Texas Tech, though, has been playing a little bit of defense this year, which is weird for Lubbock. Speaking of weird, playing enough defense. Have they lost yet this year? Are they undefeated?
Jason? Research desk.
I'm on it.
Texas Tech.
Texas Tech is 3-0.
So
3-0. What's
did they have
game?
A
What's
hurricane game
order?
Canceled, maybe?
I think they just had an early bye.
Yeah, they played Eastern Washington, Arizona State, and Houston.
Okay.
Close game against Houston. They were up pretty big, and they actually almost let Houston come back.
Holding Houston to 24 is pretty solid.
They also gave up 45 to Arizona State, which... Yeah.
Bill C's projected margin in this game is Oklahoma State by 10.5. I don't know what the actual line is, but...
The actual line is Okie State minus 9.5.
Okay. So I think this is a game where, I mean, I think Oklahoma State should win this game based on, you know, just the talent that they have and the kind of offense that they run. But I think that Texas Tech could stay in this game if they're able to maybe score early, get a big momentum play or a pick or something like that. So,
Texas Tech, Texas Tech apparently ranks second in the country in turnover margin.
See, defense.
They forced 9 turnovers in 3 games.
I just can't trust a Cliff Kingsbury team to all of a sudden be, like, competent at defense. To where they're gonna, slow down Mason Rudolph and the mullet. Like TCU, I think is kind of a Big 12 abnormality when it comes to defense. But on at the same time, it was interesting. One of the broadcasters during that TCU OK State game was talking about the Big 12 teams are constructed very much to compete with each other. So when they go out of conference, you see these. Blowout, weird lopsided games, like Oklahoma State just absolutely taking Pittsburgh behind the woodshed. But once they get together and play against the teams they're kind of built to play against, things tighten up a lot more. So
sure,
I probably wouldn't bet this game either.
Texas Tech's schedule is kind of interesting. It's not bad the rest of the way. So they host Oklahoma State, then they go to Kansas, then they go to West Virginia. Then they host Iowa State. Then they go to Oklahoma. Then they host Kansas State, Baylor, and TCU. And then they go to Texas. So
all the Big 12 teams.
So Cliff might make it out without getting fired again.
I mean, that team could, they should win 8 games with that schedule.
Right. So based on S&P, Jason, this is interesting to your point. How many games do you think Bill C projects that they win the rest of the season?
I don't think Bill C's high on Texas Tech, is he?
No, he only has them projected to win 2 games the rest of the way, and one of them is a 1-point win over Iowa State.
Jeez. So he thinks they're going to win at Kansas
and Iowa State?
So I was listening to their podcast They Play Nobody, and they were, I think he still takes into account on preseason projections for until week 6.
Yes.
So you don't really get a full picture of it, but I think we're 50% of the way there.
So does he have, does he have them beating Kansas and Iowa State?
Yes.
I mean, that would put that
I
would
don't
make
think, that yeah, I don't
in
think
that case,
wrong, Jason.
Cliff Kingsbury loses 5 games in the year and is definitely not employed at Lubbock next year. But
I mean, to be fair, he's projecting a 0.7-point loss to Baylor and a 3.5-point loss to Kansas State, and we saw Kansas State lose to Vanderbilt. So those are games that I think.
Fast. Well, Texas could be a very winnable game too, depending on what Texas team shows up.
Well, and Jordan, like you were saying, the way these teams play, they're built to compete with each other too. And if you get into a track meet with Texas Tech, that's what they want.
It'll be fascinating to see if Texas Tech wins some games between now and then. That game against TCU, second to last week of the season, if that gets put in the 9:30 local slot, 10:30 Eastern, that could get messy for TCU.
Be awesome, love it.
Yep,
chaos. So we'll keep an eye on that late night. That'll be a fun one. And now we'll move into our real picks for the week, guys.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. We got 2 Friday games to pick, which is kind of exciting. First game on the docket is Miami at Duke.
A clash of ACC coastal powerhouses.
Yeah, I mean, 0 losses amongst these teams right now.
I want to point out after. Keep going.
Miami's 6.5-point favorite. I guess I would say this is their first real test. There were some
they've played
some
games.
Yeah, they've only played twice, and they played Bethune-Cookman in one of those games. But they played Toledo. Toledo's an okay team. They're a top 50 team maybe, and they were down at halftime, and they just absolutely put it on them in the second half. So good for Miami coming along. Miami's got a good running back. Their quarterback seems to be gaining confidence. Their defense is really good up front. But I don't really think we still know that much about Miami. But I don't know anything about Duke, I'll be honest with you. So, Jordan? Jason?
Yeah, we'll let Jason pick first.
God, you guys are the worst people in the...
It's the alphabetical, man. Blame your parents, not us.
No. I mean, this is... Like, this should be a good game. I'm interested in watching it, but at the same time, I don't know jack about either of these teams.
Yeah. I mean, the swag chain or the takeaway chain is going to be on the sideline for one
strong.
Of the teams.
Mark Richt's turnover chain forged in deep, hearty fires.
Apparently, Mark Walton, who's Miami's running back, ran for 204 yards against Toledo on 11 carries, which is kind of nuts.
That's good burst.
Yeah.
Good burst ability.
I don't know.
Did you see the name of that wide receiver? Go back.
Braxton Berrios?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Heck yeah,
dude,
man.
Look at the name of their backup quarterback. It's like in apostrophe Kosi. In Kosi.
Also awesome.
Yeah.
All that said, yeah, I don't... I don't know. I don't know why I'm like taking a strong like, okay, here's what I...
You want a coin to flip?
Here's
how we do
yeah,
it, Jason.
Pretty close. I'm going to take... give me the home dogs.
The Duke home dogs.
I like Cutcliffe a lot. I think, you know, it's not like Duke students are going to be doing anything else on a Friday night. Maybe they'll be out a little bit.
They're going to be studying for their pre-law courses.
But yeah, I think
they're going to be on the basketball message boards defending Coach K.
That's probably true. The only for sure thing I know of this game is the coaches, and so I'll take. Not that I, you know, don't like Mark Richt, but I like Cutcliffe a lot. I think they at least keep it close if they don't win it outright.
Gotcha.
I'm going to go ahead and take Miami. I don't love picking a team that's only got two games under their belt. Duke's got, you know, coming off of a rivalry win against...
Heated Tobacco Road.
Carolina.
Trophy, I guess. Huh?
The Bell. It's like a, it's an object.
Sure.
It's an object.
It's a thing.
It's a noun.
Yeah.
I just like, I don't know that Duke has done enough at this stage of the year to really convince me that they are as good as maybe their record says.
Right.
Like, yes, they've won their games and they've taken care of business. But I think Miami is much more talented than them. And I'd be more worried about Miami covering if this was a Saturday nooner on Raycom than I am it being a Friday night game. Like, I think that makes it easier for Miami to dial in and not have something weird happen. So I'll go with Mark Richt and the sideline swag on this one.
last time we saw these two teams playing, I don't know, maybe they play every year, but wasn't that crazy game that had, like, the 17 lateral play?
Yeah, that they missed.
That they missed all the players being down and the forward passes and everything.
Yeah.
That was fun. That was a fun memory.
It was.
I think I'm going to go with Jason. I'm going to take the home dogs here to cover. I don't really like them to win, but this is Miami's first, like, real road test of any sort, and I could just see them maybe getting off to a little bit of a slow start and... maybe pulling through. So give me Duke to cover, probably not to win outright.
All right. Game number two, also a Friday night affair. We get a little pre-Saturday Pac-12 after dark.
That's the way I like it. Gives me two nights to recover.
Yeah, and this was one we kind of threw out jokingly, like, oh, USC could drop like a weird Friday night rainy game in Pullman. Here we go, Friday night in Pullman. USC goes to Crazy Mike Leach's barn, and they are only favored by 3.5.
Washington State's good, man.
They've won four games.
Right.
Against...
They did not lose to an FCS team this year.
They haven't gone on the road yet. That's crazy. They've played all 4 weeks. They played home games. This is their fifth. They're playing a home game. What's the rest of their schedule? Good Lord.
At
Oregon, at Cal... Home Colorado, at Arizona, home Stanford, at Utah, at... Holy crap. Home Stanford, at Utah, at Washington to close the year. That is not going to be fun.
Mike Leach might just take a sabbatical for the month of November.
He's got to take his Thanksgiving break from...
Oh, this is...
November 3rd to
November 12th. I'm doing a pirate crawl, a poker run with my.
He's got a cruise to hit.
Yeah.
So Bill C has his projected at 2.9 points for USC. USC win by 2.9. Yeah.
Man, Vegas must really know what they're talking about, Logan.
I mean, it is amazing.
It is just uncanny how often they peg these things. Just
like,
square
I
on.
I was getting 3 points, and it was a 2-point game.
Right.
Wow.
PAT pending. I'm going to go ahead and take USC. Like, they've burned me several times already this season, but
why not?
Washington State also gave up over 40 points to Boise State at home. So if USC, I'll pull it up.
That's a clear anomaly though, based on the rest of their performances.
Okay. Nerd.
I mean, they also gave up 0 points in a game. They gave up 23 and they gave up 7. And they also play offense the way that Washington State plays offense, so they give up a ton of possessions.
Yeah,
Jordan.
Nerd. They're pretty much the Golden State Warriors.
I'm gonna take USC.
My
sweet Sam Darnold is gonna throw 3 picks and he's still gonna win. So my sweet prince. My sweet ginger prince.
The sweet West Coast block. Prince.
Dude, that guy's got the blockiest head.
Yeah, it's a Patrick Ra- he is Patrick Ramsey reincarnate. I think I said this last year, but he's got the Patrick Ramsey forehead and the like weird kind of beady eyes and knack for throwing interceptions. He's got
like a little Philip Rivers in him too, just like kind of like all neck and like face just kind of is a square.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have that pissed off permanent, like terrible look on his face that Philip Rivers has. Or that
and
sweet
he,
van.
He also has a lot fewer kids, so.
Well, you never know.
So he's got that going for him.
Right.
Which is nice.
Logan, dude, you get to pick.
Okay, I'll pick here. I really want to take Washington State. But, dude, Luke Falk is completing 77% of his passes. He's 130 for 169 on the year.
Yeah,
he also got benched, Logan.
Against Boise State.
Right. Mike Leach is enough of a wild card that he could lose this game for Washington State, is my point.
You're right. No, you're right.
He's the kind of point guard that keeps both teams in the game.
Right.
Oh, like Jihad Muhammad.
A little bit,
yes. Yeah. Give me Washington State. I'll go bold here. I went 5-0 last week, so I need to come back crashing back to earth here quickly. So give me Washington State. I like. I think they play better defense than Jordan thinks, and I think that they. I mean, I don't know. I like them at home. things get weird. Things get weird in Pullman.
Very low bar.
I think things do get weird there in Pullman, and I'm basically betting on a fun game here. So
I'm very excited to watch it.
And they don't have to win to cover. So
yeah, they just have to like. Get just into like a double overtime situation where Leach goes for two and doesn't make it. And, the game's over and I get to go home.
Perfect. Which,
and
super plausible.
Super plausible.
Yes, exactly. So, give me the Cougs.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Cougars, too. It's strange to me that... I mean, I guess the spread people have, like, a pretty significant drop-off after the first few teams. But it's strange to me that... They think that they have enough confidence that USC is a full touchdown better than Washington State.
It's all about the talent in the depth chart.
I don't see it.
All the star power just takes over in the fourth quarter, yeah. Jason.
USC. And Ronald Jones might still be hurt, right? He missed last game.
It's like USC's backs are still really good.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, USC, I don't know.
Running
it feels
back,
like,
you can play a walk-on at running back. We know that.
Ronald Jones returned to practice. Yesterday.
Hey now.
We talking about practice?
We're talking about practice. I don't love USC. They feel like they've kind of sleptwalked through the last 2 weeks since beating Stanford.
Right. So they're primed for a USC performance.
Which, I mean, really definitely means they're going to win by like 30. but now, yeah. Give me the Cougs.
Yes. All right.
All right. Game 3 is an ACC Atlantic affair. We're touching both sides of the ACC coin this week.
Yay.
The the winless Florida State Seminoles
Henry.
Take on the vaunted claw fence of the Demon Deacons from Wake Forest. This is a 3:30 kick.
I was looking on the ranked games on ESPN, but that's not going to show it to me.
Nothing to see here, yeah. Noles fans.
The Noles, AP's not talking about the Noles.
No, they're not. The Noles are still favored by 7.5 here. Logan, you get to go first on this.
All right. I'm looking, checking out some advanced statistical profiles. Right. Here.
Advanced metrics. Calibrate.
I'm looking at Wake Forest's. They did eke one out most recently against App State, which was
in Boonetown.
In Boone, which is a bit concerning. Our guy Bill C has Florida State projected a 12-point favorite in this game.
Though to be fair, still working.
What is the spread, Jordan? I'm gonna take Wake Forest. Wow, to cover here. I like it a lot. Florida State's still breaking in a super green raw quarterback, and I don't know. Wake Forest is playing with a little bit of that research triangle swag, you know, and that's really.
That's really what gets you through out of conference
play. That's the first time that's ever been said.
I think you're right. Hopefully it's the last time that's ever said. But, give me the research triangle swag to lead the Wake Forest Demon Deacons to a nice cover here. And, I mean, I don't know. Florida State, it looks like if they come out flat in the first half, they could pack it in and just be done for the season.
That would be awesome.
And it would be really hilarious. Jimbo's, like, receding hairline would start receding again. I mean, things would be getting weird. I think Florida State is going to find out if this quarterback can get them to a bowl game or not.
They're going to find out fast. Do they have any other viable options? Like,
I mean, so the other
like
two
we've got like
on
a
there.
Walk-on senior perhaps who like really knows the playbook. Kind of a
think,
Luke Del Rio situation.
Those plays
I think yes. I think yes is the answer to that question.
Okay.
They have two other quarterbacks that have actually taken snaps. One kid's name is like JJ Constantino, like one of those kind
I think
of guys.
I remember that guy.
Definitely a coach's son.
Yeah.
So I think it was a little bit of a surprise that he didn't come into the game. Blackman came straight into the game during the Alabama game after Francois got hurt. But I think that was sort of a clear, like, future play. Like, Jimbo knows what he's got in Constantino and doesn't really want to worry about it. So,
That's fair.
So I think they have some, like, game manager type options, but. If Florida State's going to win games, I think they're going to really have to feed Cam Akers and get their running game going and not try to be so complicated in their pro-style passing attack.
All right, Jason.
Yeah, I'm gonna side with Logan. I think...
it's time, Jordan.
Yeah, I think Wake keeps it close for a half, and then Lord knows what's going to happen. But I do think a touchdown is too much for a clearly imperfect Florida State team right now.
Right. Another home dog situation.
Yeah. And that's actually what I was going to bring up, is of the five games we have, four of them have home underdogs.
Nice.
I'm going to take the home dogs again.
Give me the Noles. I'm just
look real interesting in the standings after this week.
I'm playing contrarian this week. He's
trying to make up some ground.
I think the talent difference is too big. I kind of went with that theory last week and was probably a little misguided because I think NC State is more talented than Wake Forest is. Logan, I think you're right. Like, we're gonna find out, I believe, a lot about Florida State's direction for the rest of the season this week. Do they get their act together and really put it on Wake Forest and make a statement, or do they kind of just like show up and whatever happens happens, and the rest of the season is going to be really, really adventurous for Noles fans if that's the case. But I think they can win by, you know, a 9 or 10. I can see a 9 or 10 point win fairly easily. I think their defense is still super talented. I'll go Jimbo. Give me Jimbo on the road.
Go Jimbo.
Yeah.
That's my Jimbo.
That, yeah. You're not wrong. Little bit of a an eclectic pick here, but we didn't want to talk about Auburn too much, so I'm fully on board with taking a gander at Memphis, visiting the UCF.
Going to see Mickey.
What is UCF's mascot?
Golden Knights.
Okay.
Golden Knights. Yes. So this is a rescheduled game? Because it's not showing up on either team's statistical profile, which is really throwing off my picks here.
You lost without your numbers, aren't you?
Your metrics aren't calibrating the way you thought.
Well, I was going to be all excited.
I think it is. I think Maine was supposed to play UCF here. No. Yeah. This is a rescheduled game.
So they
so Maine was supposed to play UCF here, and UCF canceled the Maine game to make up this Memphis game.
Okay, because it's a conference game in the.
So take that, Maine.
The AAC.
The AAC, the AAC.
AAC. Who's gonna go first?
Jason gets to go first.
Shit, dude, rotate back around to me. Man, do I know nothing about these teams.
Well, you know that UCF did it to UCLA at like 10 in the morning in Memphis. I mean, Memphis did.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And you know and UCF's mascot.
I do know UCF's mascot. That counts.
You also know Memphis's mascot.
I know.
So UCF just put the hands on Maryland last week.
UCF just bodied Maryland.
Also, side note, I saw, Maryland has had 5 different QBs tear ACLs in the last 2 years.
Something to that effect. They said their second string down went down today.
Yeah. He's the 5th.
You know what that is? They're squatting with their legs pointing out. You want to make sure your feet are straight up and down when you're squatting for football. Get those ACLs nice and strong.
Or they're just wearing terrible gear from that brand.
Under.
Yeah, from that one brand.
That brand up north.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not overly impressed with Memphis. I'm not going to lie to you.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Is UCLA that good?
I think they're talented.
I think they're a team that should beat Memphis based on talent, yeah.
Yeah, but UCLA had to cross the country and play at 10 a.m. their time.
Ted to make it 3 whole states over to Tennessee, to Western Tennessee.
What?
UCLA is not just 3 states.
I need to know that you know that UCLA is in Los Angeles, California.
What is between California and Tennessee?
Most of the country.
Like,
let's name them off.
The whole Rust Belt.
What, like Missouri, Arkansas,
Nevada? Definitely is
Nevada,
Oklahoma,
Nevada,
Kansas,
Utah,
Colorado.
Like the whole Big 12.
I can't believe this is a question.
If you're going in a straight line,
Arizona, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Arkansas. Okay. If you ride the panhandle,
I can't believe we're saying
as the crow flies, a plane flies just like a crow.
No, really from Los Angeles, it would be Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Oklahoma,
Arkansas,
Tennessee.
I want to
so
be clear,
one,
we're
two,
really
going to
measure
four,
distance
five, six
by way
between.
Of states. That's what we're going to do on this podcast.
Five in between.
Well, I would just say like Memphis is pretty much in the middle of the country, though.
No, I mean.
It's literally on the line of Western Tennessee. I'm looking at this map behind Jordan's head right now.
I mean, it is, but there's still several.
I mean, like, I guess it could be in
more than three states.
It could be in Oklahoma. I mean, you got hardly any of Arkansas. All
this
right.
Is, okay, no, we're not. We're
one,
not having
two,
this discussion.
Three, four.
UCLA
right.
had to travel a wall.
That's one of the widest points of Arkansas.
It's just the worst.
Let's talk about
that's the Burt Bielema section of Arkansas.
This conversation is surreal.
Does not need to be wearing those crew neck sweaters.
He is so thick.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyways,
he could use a little.
I don't know that UCLA is that good.
A little nugenics.
A football team, not their players. I don't know. I can't help it with you people. I just.
Okay, so they had to make that huge 4-state.
Yeah, they had apparently to go to Memphis, Nevada to play in the eyes of Logan Whitehouse.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think UCLA is not a great football team, and they had to travel a long way and play really early in the morning, and Memphis beat them by 3 in probably their biggest, in fact, certainly their biggest game of the year. So,
yes. And a game that we all to be fair, we all pretty much pegged as like, oh, UCLA is definitely
right, exactly. And their other two wins are Louisiana Monroe by 8 and Southern Illinois. Is that Southern Illinois?
SIU could be
the Salukis. The Southern Illinois
Salukis. Yeah, and yep. They beat them by 13. NCAA. And the game was 10 going into the fourth quarter. So
that QB
I'm not.
Can spin it though, man.
I'm not thrilled by the side. They have a great offense. It'll be fun. Yeah. But I'm not thrilled by Memphis. I will take the Golden Knights in that theme park of a city.
They play in the Citrus Bowl? Or do they have their own stadium?
I think they have their own stadium, but I'm not positive about that.
Golden Knight Arena or some medieval themed carnival like that.
It's paved in asphalt, I bet. They play in Spectrum Stadium.
Spectrum?
It's on campus at UCF, which doesn't mean a ton because campus UCF is like 3,000 square miles.
Yeah, it's a lot of swampland down there.
It's a lot of Orlando going on there.
Yeah. I'm gonna go UCF here as well too. I do like Memphis's quarterback. I don't like the uniforms they wore against UCLA.
And I actually didn't like. I didn't mind those.
That's still really bugging me. We talked about this ad nauseum. The day after, but yeah, give me the colorful Golden Knights. It being an evening game, I think helps. Should be a raucous environment for some top notch ACC football. So, give me UCF.
ACC.
I'll take UCF too at home.
There it is.
We'll go consensus.
Don't wheel route guarantee.
I was pretty impressed with UCF's result against Maryland last week.
This is Scott Frost's team. Yeah.
Scott Frost is he's really gunning for that Nebraska job. So he's got a lot of people to make happy.
Yeah.
Which is going to be disappointing for us if Nebraska doesn't get like a triple option squad going. But
yeah.
You gotta know where you are in today's social media. Did you see that guy that had that take also about how basically social media is the reason good players don't come to Nebraska anymore? He's like, people get on the internet and are able to see beaches and warm weather and nice places elsewhere, and no one comes to Nebraska. Like, that was literally his take. Like,
yeah, because wow. Lord knows they don't ever hear about that like during recruiting presentations.
Right. I mean, everyone knows I have a really good grasp on geography.
Right.
So,
as you've given
if anything.
Yeah.
So, cool guys. That's it. So we'll see what shakes out this weekend. I'm sure we'll get some weird games. It's a fun weekend.
I don't know. I can't tell if you're joking.
Are we not picking the last game of the day?
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's I mean we can end it. We can end
it
right here.
It was a strong joke if it was going to be a joke.
We'll see what shakes out this weekend.
Like literally, I was like, I shouldn't interfere with this because this is a great joke. I'm going to ruin it.
I totally did not. Did not realize that we're going to be picking Clemson at Virginia Tech.
The lunch pail gets to get plenty of on-air time with the teeth of Bud Foster's victims inside.
Jawbones.
I think... Well, I'm going first, and I really want to do that thing where you like abstain from voting for a piece of legislation. You're just like, I abstain.
I will not be present in the chamber for
Jordan's
this one.
Jordan's gonna filibuster until all of our audacity
is
crashed.
Yeah. Gonna run our laptops out of it.
I'm gonna take the moral high ground and read the owner's manual for my car until both of you guys get pissed off.
What follows are the rules of blackjack.
Yeah. This is how to count cards in a Tennessee casino where splitting after where
Rule
resplitting
one.
Aces is not allowed.
Find your exit.
I'm gonna go Clemson here. I think I hate Clemson less than I hate Virginia Tech. And I also think Clemson's defense is really good and Virginia Tech hasn't shown me a whole lot on offense. I don't like they put up points against West Virginia, sure. West Virginia is a Big 12 team that does not. Yeah, they just don't strike me as a defensive juggernaut. And I don't think they've really had to improve offensively each week because they've played some cupcakes since playing West Virginia. I think Clemson's much better prepared for this level of a game. Kelly Bryant, whatever old Mr. Quarterback's name is, he's got a road game in a raucous environment under his belt. Probably not to the degree that that gray pit in the ground will be on Saturday, but
Hokie Stone will be shaking. Awaken the echoes, Jordan. Right. Awaken the echoes.
Awaken the echoes of that jail-looking campus.
It's so, like a jail and a hunting lodge, like, had an illegitimate child.
And then it got adopted by, like, a rock quarry. yeah, so give me Clemson is what I'm trying to say.
That all said, give me Clemson.
Yeah.
Is it Jason or me?
You, Logan.
Is this going to be another one?
No. I'm going to take Virginia Tech. Yeah. I like the big home game atmosphere. I don't think Virginia Tech wins this game, but last time we saw these two teams play, Clemson was better, and Virginia Tech, I don't know, was better, and it was a close game. It's only a 7-point game in the ACC championship game. I think the home atmosphere will be a benefit to Virginia Tech. Both these teams, I think, are actually pretty similar in how they're made up. I think Virginia Tech starts a little bit slower than Clemson, but both kind of know what they want to do as far as establishing the run and then letting that sort of feed into their passing game and taking bigger shots down the field. Clemson's obviously more talented than Virginia Tech. I don't think there's any question about that. But I like Virginia Tech getting those points at home. So,
you don't think they win outright? Which means you think it's just going to be a heartbreaker. Which,
yeah,
is fair. Yes.
No, I mean, I think Clemson finds a way to win this game just based on the sort of battle testedness that they already have. I don't think Clemson is going to do any sort of jumping all over Virginia Tech and being up 20 early kind of situation.
Yeah, it makes sense.
7 points is I think kind of a big spread in this game.
Yeah, I mean that's saying that
they're 10 points better.
That's saying the number 12 team is 10 points worse than the number 2 team.
I mean we've been through this. Virginia Tech's no good, but right. That's
Vegas knows this.
Hard hitting analysis.
Vegas knows this.
With that said, I'm gonna take the Hokies.
I will say, like, Tech's had some injuries and suspensions on the defensive side of the ball that doesn't necessarily bode super well for them. But
that's true. But like Bud Foster's
not
classic,
that I care at all.
You know, this is like definitely your coach speak, announcer speak kind of thing. But Bud Foster's definitely that guy that's sort of like takes away what you want to do and forces you to like do hard things. So like this could be the game where Kelly Bryant really grows up and becomes, you know, the next great Clemson quarterback, I suppose. But at the same time, this could also be a really long game for him if Virginia Tech sits there and doesn't let them run, because it's pretty obvious that Clemson wants to run the ball to protect their quarterback, and you know, and vice versa. So I think two defensive coordinators going at it in this game, and yeah, give me the Hokies just with the points. I can't take those.
Can't
points.
Go money line.
Yeah, I mean, this is gonna be super fascinating because I was gonna say, similar to what you did, they're kind of mirror images of each other. You have, I mean, two of the consensus top few defensive coordinators in the country. You have two pretty fun offensive guys. I think if I'd have been forced to pick this game like 3 weeks ago, I think I would have taken Virginia Tech. But Clemson, they look really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like way ahead of what I figured they would look at this point in the season.
Their defense is so good.
Yeah, they're monsters.
It's unfair, really.
And I saw, you know, I mean, Delaware's defense is pretty good at the FCS level, and they held Virginia Tech 27. Now Virginia Tech also put up 64 on ECU, but ECU's trash.
They put those points up pretty quick. It was a slow start game for them.
Yeah, I mean they scored like 50 points in like 27 minutes, but I don't have enough proof from Virginia Tech right now to take them. I think Clemson maybe has the best body of work in the country.
So are you gonna take a push here, Jason? Is that what we're
going? I'm gonna walk away from this one. I'm not gonna.
I abstain.
No, I think I'm gonna take Clemson to cover. I'm gonna go against the home dogs.
I'll also say this: like, I think I made the comment week one ish that Kelly Bryant throws a fairly impressive deep ball.
Yes, he does.
That's important against Virginia Tech because they like to play press with maybe only one safety helping over the top, very much in the box. And he does, like Logan, you talked about Tech taking away the run. I think Bryant's got enough talent to stretch the field that he's got to at least keep the defense honest, and there will be room to do multiple things. If you're going against a one-dimensional quarterback, that's where Bud Foster's defense thrives a lot, is when you can take away one aspect of the game and they really don't have any other options. But I think he's good enough with his legs and with the deep ball to where that doesn't necessarily become as big of a problem as it would maybe against like a Matt Johns type fella. So
sure.
Just to pull.
I also think, I mean, I think Bryant,
pull a name out of
that. Bryant's good with his legs. I don't think he's Deshaun Watson with his legs, which is okay.
See, I think he's I think he might be a better runner than Deshaun Watson.
Really?
Yeah. I think he's a stronger and more intentional runner.
Gotcha.
But And they seem to be using him a lot more willingly on the ground this early in the season. Like with Watson last year, they kind of protected him, and the whispers or the excuses were like, "Oh, we're saving him for the end of the season so he doesn't get banged up." And he'd end up, you know, running a lot more in the playoff.
They played that pretty well.
Yeah, they played that pretty well. But with you know, Kelly Bryant, it's just like, okay, we got a horse back there. Let's ride him. And see what happens. Right. So,
who was Clemson's offensive coordinator?
I don't think it's Dabo.
No,
and it's not. It's not Dabo. Chad Morris anymore.
Jeff Scott. His name is Jeff Scott.
Oh, of course it is.
Okay.
Co-offensive coordinator / wide receivers coach.
Gosh, that's not the most Clemson-looking coach.
Clemson-looking dude.
Well, he went to Blythewood High School in Blythewood, South Carolina. He was the head coach in 2006.
He and Dabo probably like mowed yards together in high school or something.
Wait, this says he then served the position of wide receiver coach for the Presbyterian Blue Hose. That's their name?
The Blue Hose. Yeah. Hose.
Yeah.
Blue Hose, like a hose.
Yeah.
Like a water hose? Or is a hose like a bird?
I think it's like the sock, right?
I think so. I think it refers to, like, the stockings.
And that's like red socks or blue hose. You see where I'm going with this?
I do see where you're going with it. That's terrible, though. That's so stupid. Anyhow.
Yeah, it's the socks worn by the football team in the early 20th century.
Oh, this guy Tony Elliott is also the co-offensive coordinator. He is also the running backs coach.
So four first names among two guys who coordinate the offense.
Tony Elliott, Jeff Scott, Dabo Swinney.
That makes me question our pick.
Yeah.
I actually feel kind of good about it because it's weird enough to work against Bud Foster.
You think it went all the way around and came back to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hiding in plain sight against Bud Foster. Right. Yeah. He'll never suspect
He's not aiming for the orange vest, Jordan. Right. He's aiming for
Oh, speaking of orange vests, did you guys see that there's a coach on Duke's team that wears orange Duke gear during the game?
That's pretty common. Crazy colors.
Well, I understand, like, I've usually seen the guy in the hat.
Yeah.
Like, he has a full orange
But it's
Duke
got the
shirt.
Logo on?
Like, the orange D, yeah, it has a D on it. Like, it's exactly their shirt. It's like, I know I've seen, like, the guy with the vest or the guy with, like, the green hat on. Like, Venables, I think, wears a lime green hat. But, I was like,
Brand above all, man. Listen, doesn't matter the color.
Got to hold up the giant sign with, like, Jimmy Tatro and like a bowl of cereal
and Big Cat and PFT chugging milk.
Yeah.
And...
right. Yeah. So I think that's
something we should do
most...
is if the wheel route was designing a four.
Can we get on a JMU play card?
A four pin? We should. I don't think we use play cards, but if we do, trust me.
Y'all fixing to start using play cards.
But no, I'm saying if we designed our play card, what would it, what four pictures would it have on it?
Oh, so we each get to pick one?
A 32-ounce 40.
Made of plastic.
A bottle of Andre. it can't be all booze. That's
probably fair.
Yeah. that's, unless it's a private school, then maybe we could get away with it.
This is a tough question. Maybe this can...
Next week. We'll
revisit this.
Yeah, we'll revisit this. We're not, Jason, we're not great at on the spot decisions yet.
Say what?
Yep. You can shop it up for us, and we'll put it on the Instagram.
Yeah, we can shout out the first lady of the wheel route, who's just.
Yeah, do you have the Instagram account in the show notes now?
Oh, not yet, but she did just set it up.
She literally just built it.
She left with the phone, though. So, I think it's just going to be at the wheel route.
It is at Wheel Route Podcast.
Pew, pew. Did she send that to you?
Yeah, we got followed, bro.
Oh, sick.
She's already gotten us 9 followers, and I don't think any of them are us.
Sup.
All right.
And they're, in fact, almost all female.
Sup.
She's
trying to do us favors, Jason.
We get it, Emily. We got it, all right?
Point taken, yes. Emily.
Right. Tighten it up, boys. Tighten it up.
8 girls and Haddon Luke. We get it. It's fine.
Yeah.
Guys,
following list is tremendous.
Yeah, outstanding.
Yeah, Haddon easily has the best hair in that list.
That's a pretty easy case to make.
Shout out Haddon.
That's right.
None of the other 8 listen to this, so who knows.
Tell us about your road trip.
Yeah.
Going to the Alabama game this weekend. It'll be a good time.
Are you practicing yet?
It's night game. What'd you say?
Are you going with work or friends?
Family.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, so my little cousin Sydney is a senior at the University of Alabama, and we haven't been up there to visit or see a game or anything yet, so no time like the present. We picked the Ole Miss game, and it worked out. Shout out SeatGeek.
You guys stay in the sorority house?
I mean, I am. Hey, now.
Yay. Yeah. You going to wear your Tebow jersey?
No, I think we're staying in Montgomery at a hotel. Yeah. Classic.
I heard some weird movies about that, man.
Montgomery?
Yeah.
You guys know I used to live in Alabama.
Yeah, I think you told our listeners that one time.
Enterprise, Alabama.
Town named after the biggest company.
I'll report back to see what I'll try to see if I can utilize the Wheel Route Instagram account at the game to get some.
Give us. I'm interested in a report on stadium food at Bryant Denny.
Yep.
Ooh.
Give me value plays. Give me quantity plays.
All right.
Do they serve alcohol there?
I kind of doubt it.
Yeah, I kind of doubt it too.
Where's that stadium that they do serve alcohol? Is it USF Stadium or UCF Stadium?
FAU's did, remember? The Colorado State one has like a New Belgium, like beer garden in one of their end zones.
Like a dispensary. They probably have just like a toke zone.
They probably have edibles in a vending machine or something.
It's like, please join us in the South Toke Zone after the game for buy one, get one edible.
If you could get gummies. on TV vaping at the Alabama Ole Miss game, that would be big for our brand.
That would be really big. Yeah. I wish I had a Wheel Route Podcast shirt I could wear. Just like 700 koozies I could just toss out.
To be fair, we've only planned to do that for like 2 years now, so we'll get around to it.
Yeah. Right. You know, these things, we're waiting on that sponsorship money to come through.
Right. Once the Hair Corral gets their act together and...
Hey, gladly. If they want to fly me up for haircuts every 3 weeks,
right,
that's cool. Keep me looking.
We can just give them the privilege to use Logan's picture for their ads.
Yep.
Yeah, this lushness, you kidding me?
Yeah. This salad...
There's no Jimbo situation going on here.
Like,
you know what?
Plus, we can give it to hardware stores, and they can put it up and say, this haircut not allowed to buy tiki torches.
Hey, now.
Hey.
Jason, it's not... I don't have it shaved on this.
No,
side.
You don't.
You don't have the racing half.
Yeah, I got rid of the
straight razor line.
Right.
The hard part
was what did it.
The hard part's a little aggressive. I decided to get rid of that. I moved to South Florida and decided I needed to separate myself from your
clansmen, so to speak.
your clansmen and your South Floridians. All right, guys. This has gone off the rails a bit.
Yeah, it's land the plane.
Good times. Congratulations to us. This has been fun. We've done this 50 times.
Yep.
That's crazy, which is awesome.
And we haven't been banned from iTunes yet. So.
We are very proud of me.
Right, and we haven't like completely lost an episode yet either.
I want to thank my hands for being so great. We did lose half an episode one time.
That's true.
That is true.
I still don't know how that happened.
We've had some weird blips, probably internet related. Shout out Xfinity. So, all right, thank you guys for joining us yet again. This has been fun. We're going to plug... We're not going to... Well, yeah, we can do that. Check out our guys, the 40s and 7 podcast, if you want to talk NBA, NFL, and our guy, Miles B, is on there. He's the man. And then, as always, find us on Twitter at the Wheel Route, wheelroutepodcast, gmail.com, wheelroute.com. Download us from your favorite podcast acquisition service, and go Gators.
Go Hoos!
Go Dukes.
Roll Tide.